Untold Physio Stories is part of the all-new PT Podcast Network. Find a new favorite podcast by an amazing PT content creator at ptpodcastnetwork.com. The future of medical documentation is here, and it's revolutionizing the way we record patient visits. Introducing Comprehend PT, the groundbreaking HIPAA-compliant AI scribe designed specifically for physical therapists. Imagine a world where the dialogue between PTs and patients is interpreted by AI into precise, real-time medical notes without lifting a pen or tapping a keyboard. Comprehend PT does just that, allowing healthcare professionals to stay engaged with patients rather than buried in documentation. Boost your efficiency, reduce claim denials, and liberate yourself from the burdens of manual note-taking with Comprehend PT. Join the revolution now at comprehendpt.com. Untold Physio Stories listeners get 50% off their first month with code MMT50, and there's a free trial available. Sign up now. I use it every day in the clinic for virtual and live visits. I just speak to the patient and at the end hit Comprehend and a soap note's generated. I love it and you will too. Welcome back to Untold Physio Stories Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Ree, with Modern Manual Therapy, Edge Mobility System, and our four-month online mentoring program, Modern Rehab Mastery. My co-host, Dr. Andrew Rothschild, not with me. Today, I have a special guest, Dr. Scott Lowe. And Scott, you can give a little intro and then tell us your story.
All right. Thank you. I've been a big fan for years, so I'm really glad to be part of this program now. As introduced, my name is Dr. Scott Lowe. I'm an assistant professor at the Georgia campus of the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, Department of Physical Therapy. And one of the things I want to talk about...
That's a long title.
Yeah, I know. Locally, I just say PCOM, but hopefully with broader national audience than that, even international. So that's where you can find me. The thing that I'm going to kind of bring to the audience today is how I'm finding ways to bring together a couple interests of mine that up until this point have really been kind of dissonant even. Those two areas are some of what we know in terms of the modern concepts of pain neuroscience education with some of the industrial work, for instance, with ergonomics. So, as I think a lot of listeners on this podcast are probably quite familiar with, we've developed across the last 10-15 years some really good data on how some of these changes can be made with patients when we provide with them some of the education about how pain actually works. They're probably not getting this oftentimes even from other providers, and they're probably not finding some of this accurate information from Dr. Google that they like to use. What I've seen, though, in my experience doing ergonomic assessment and evaluation is a lot of that world, despite its long history and, again, its own solid research, has really stayed significantly more on the kind of patho-anatomical mindset where, hey, you know, if you're not in this correct, so to speak, posture, that's going to lead to pain and repetitive musculoskeletal use disorders over time. Certainly some of that's true, but what I've tried to find is a way to combine these two knowledge banks to where the individuals I'm consulting with or treating are able to have good mechanical elements, but also not potentially play into some of those nocebo type elements from wording there. Certainly jump in if you have any follow-up questions or clarifications. This is something I can definitely roll on about, so hit me up if you want any clarification that you think would be helpful for the audience.
Well, I mean, normally it's not like a kind of interview type podcast, but I mean, would you say, well, first of all, have you ever taken Greg Lehman's course?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, because that's a good, I mean, that's almost exactly what you're trying to do in a way, right?
Yeah. So, I'm nodding here, but you can't hear me over the nodding.
Right, yes. Maybe we could, sometimes I make these into short video clips. So what would you say is like the biggest hurdle though? I mean, what since you're doing some more of like industrial, do you ever get pushback from like, say, the employer that, you know, oh, I thought you were going to be ergonomic, right? Like, because I think of like, would we even have called this ergonomics before pain science? Because I know these things, there's certainly ergonomics can add up to what I say is like filling up the cup, right? But I wouldn't say it's not the end all be all. I mean, I remember I used to teach like a back education school and in like 1998, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Long, long time ago. And I remember thinking, like, I lifted weights, but it didn't occur for me to tell people to deadlift, because that's like the most efficient way to lifting off the floor. And like, no one ever squats all the way down and then picks up something heavy and then lift something up. It's like so impractical to lift something heavy off the floor. Like, what do you say is the biggest disconnect?
That is a great question. To your point, the employer side of it is definitely relevant. One of the biggest elements that I look at that does blend these two worlds is the education side of it. That if you're able to describe to somebody, hey, these are some generalities that oftentimes work from the ergonomic side, but this is also a little bit more about how your body tends to process signals and turn them into pain. What I found is that if you can combine both of those, you don't leave anything off. And those are where we're seeing some of the better outcomes. As long as I have a chance to oftentimes chat with the employer ahead of time, they've been pretty good about getting on board. But to your point, it is a little bit of a educational piece for them as well. They may be familiar with ergonomics, but not so much with some of the pain science elements that I try to blend in along with it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a particular case, though, in mind where, say, maybe someone was being treated and they were only purely talking about ergonomics or strength or posture or something, and then PNE actually kind of like helped them more than, you know, ergonomically changing something?
Yes. So there's one example really that comes to mind. I was in a office workplace setting several years ago doing an ergonomic assessment. And this person, I walked up their desk and they were literally in the textbook everything you shouldn't do position. And I said, hey, how do you feel about your setup there? And they said, great. I said, tried to ask them, you know, not too leading questions, but I said, any issues with your neck pain there? Because you're looking up several feet to your monitor. They were nearly fully reclined in their chair, which is rather impressive, actually. And they said, no, I've been, you know, doing this for a couple years now, no real symptom issues. I said, well, if you do, we can talk about it. Person next to them said, what about me, though? They were textbook, you know, monitors, 90-90s at the elbows and hips. And they said, even with trying to do everything I can posturally here, my neck and my right forearm are really starting to hurt a lot more when I'm at work. So since the first person did not require any of my time, I spent a couple minutes talking to that second person about some of the other factors that they'd already identified. And turns out that they had already recognized that they weren't getting up and moving. They weren't getting the micro breaks. And there were some of the elements of their own stress management that they knew they were trying to work through that tend to coincide with their symptom presentation at work. So what I found is there's a really neat example that even the static posture didn't make nearly as much of a difference as the microbreaking and the psychosocial factors, which is all really consistent with some of the research we have from both worlds. So those two people side by side were a great compare and contrast to me.
That's funny. I wish you can take a picture of that.
I thought about that afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Or even just replicate it, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to imagine someone being so reclined, probably just a relaxing position to work in. I mean, I often thought, before I knew anything about pain science, I used to say that if I could develop a recliner that had the monitor attached to it,
yeah,
and, you know, everything like your mouse pad and your keyboard and everything was within a good reach of like a 90-90 thing, but your head and neck were supported as you were reclined, and you'd have like, whatever, the weight of your head on your neck. I thought that could probably be good, but it doesn't. I acted like, oh, you'd be able to sit there and work there for 8 hours, which we all know is actually not even though it doesn't cause pain, it may actually cause several comorbidities or may cause early death, but
that's a good description.
May not cause pain.
Yeah, you skipped
that. Cause, but it's, say it's associated with an increase in all-cause mortality.
Yes, yes. That captures all your bases right there.
Right. Well, this may not, I mean, the other person said, like, yeah, this may not actually hurt you, but you should still get up and move more often. If you want to live longer.
Exactly. So you can enjoy retiring from said job.
Right, right. Well, if you guys have any comments or questions for Dr. Lowe, you can reach out to me on social media and I'll forward them. If you think his story is interesting or you want to just even see a mimic picture of this crazy setup, it's probably not the worst setup I've ever heard of. I don't know if you heard the episode of someone who like had like T-Rex arms. His keyboard was so high that he was like flexed, like typing like this. And he had elbow pain. And even though like repeated elbow extensions helped him, the thing that really brought it home was that my co-host at the time, she found out that he was sleeping on like 4 or 5 pillows supine.
Oh. Investigation.
So, extremely flexed. It's not like she took away all the pillows cold turkey, but I think like you had to take away a pillow every couple of weeks or something.
Interesting. Yeah. Getting a good subjective is huge.
It is, but I mean, it also takes you a while to figure things out when you think like something else is probably going on. Either you can't treat it or you miss something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, well, thanks for coming on.
Indeed. Glad to be here. And I appreciate everything that you've done. Look forward to hearing the next podcast after this.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. You're not going to listen to your own episode.
You know, your own voice and all that.
Right, right. Well, I hear that all the time since I do my own editing. So, all right, make sure to hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, especially on Apple and Spotify, as that helps our show be discovered and with our SEO. And as always,